Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Welcome to our members and welcome to our guests. I'd ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. That's where we'll begin our lesson here. Just a couple of minutes, 1 John chapter 1. As you're turning there, let me continue to extend a warm welcome to all that have gathered together. As I always do, I want to express my gratitude to the men who led in song and prayer or served at the table, to those who teach our Bible classes. Thank you for all you do to strengthen this local congregation. It is certainly appreciated. James, I appreciate you leading that song, Heavenly Sunlight, before the lesson, because it does relate to the topic of our lesson today. So I'd ask you to keep that in mind as well. Terry, as always, thank you for your insightful comments before the Lord's Supper. You know, and reminding us of who Jesus was, who he is, and what it is that we commemorate when we share the bread and the fruit of the vine. We certainly appreciate that. And if you're visiting with us, whether it's your first time or you're a returning guest, it's certainly good to see you. It's good to see some new and familiar faces. We want you to know that you are always welcome to come back and join us whenever you might have the opportunity. You know, last week in our Bible study series, we considered the man named Enoch, who we read about in Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 11, and he's quoted in the book of Jude. We begin the class by acknowledging that there's really two distinct features that come to mind when we think about Enoch. Now, first off is the fact that we're told that God took Enoch up, that he didn't experience a physical death. Elijah's the only other person in the Bible referenced in that way. And of course, the other distinguishing feature of Enoch is that we're told that he walked with God. Noah and Levi are also said to have walked with God. And that tends to be what we reflect on, what comes to mind when we think about Enoch, those two distinguishing features. And we spent some time last week thinking about exactly what it means to walk with God. That Enoch and Noah and Levi obviously had that close personal relationship with the Lord that we can strive to imitate. It's not only them that can walk with God. We can strive to do the same. That's why we're given those accounts, so we can understand that and strive to do that. We looked at Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, where we're told to walk with someone means to be in agreement with them. So that helps us to understand what it means to walk with God as well, that we trust him. We believe in his promises, we trust his word, and we are in that agreement as two people walking together, almost as if they're staying in step. Well, with that in mind, I'd like to continue to build on that thought about what it means to walk with God. Let's just look at it from a slightly different perspective together this morning, and that brings us to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Because in this particular passage, John defines God as light, and he tells us that if we're with God, we're walking in his light. So today, let's think about what that means to walk with God and to be in that illuminated circle. If we're with him, if we're beside him, that God has surrounded us with that light, that he is all around us. And there's benefit and goodness to being in that light. So with that in mind, read with me, please, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 as we begin. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's begin by thinking of the benefit of walking in the light. Let's envision that path towards salvation. God is walking that path. He has defined it, and he is illuminating it. And if we're walking with God, striving to be with him, Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, if we're in agreement with him, in step, we're within that circle of light. And he is guiding us on that path to salvation. So let's think of the benefits of being in the light. But let's think about the other alternative, because it's one of two places. We're either in the light, or according to 1 John chapter 1, which we just read the passage, verses 5 through 7, we're in the darkness, and we're lost. We can't find our way to salvation if we're not walking with him. So let's think about what it means to be in the light, and let's think of what's at risk if we're walking in the darkness. First, let's begin by thinking of those benefits. Again, God is that light. We are on that path. If we walk with him, we are in that illuminated circle. He's surrounding us with his power, his glory, his forgiveness, his love, his mercy, all the goodness that he has to offer, and he's leading us and giving us that direction along that path to salvation. And that's the first benefit of being in that light. Because, brethren, without it, we can't find heaven. We can't find salvation if we're trying to strike out on our own, and, in fact, we're walking in the darkness. Because again, God has delineated that path. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus defines that path in some very specific ways that helps us to understand how important it is that we're walking with God and that we are in His light so that we could find our way on that particular path. So let's read Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, better understanding of how Jesus defines that path and how important it is that we walk in the light. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus tells us to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, our goal is that narrow gate. It's a very specific objective. And the only way to find it is on the narrow path. And so many people think it's a negative thing that God has delineated a path that's so narrow. But think about how amazing that truly is and how helpful. We don't want to lose our way. And if we have a narrow, well-defined path, it's going to lead us straight to that place where we want to be, which is a narrow gate, which is a small target to achieve. And so if we're walking with God, imagine Him as the light illuminating our path. We know where the left side is. We know where the right side is. We can see the darkness to either side, but we are in the protection of God's light. He's given that direction. He's given us that focus. And so that's one of the benefits of being in the light. Closely related, when we're in His light, we are in the realm of His power and His glory, and He's keeping us safe. Now think about being in your home, and the power goes out at night, and everything goes pitch dark. Doesn't matter how long you've lived in that house and how familiar you think you are with the layout of your floor plan and where all your furniture is, if you don't have a light, I guarantee you we're bumping into something. Doesn't matter how long we've been there. So we find that flashlight, we turn our cell phone light on, or the power comes back on, and we have that sense of safety and comfort because now our surroundings are familiar once again. Well, think about walking this path to salvation, and God lights the way, and the comfort and the safety and security that brings. Let's think about another admittedly more extreme example. We're out in an unfamiliar place, a place that might be somewhat risky, one where we don't feel as secure and we're not familiar, and all the lights are out. We lack that safety and that security until we find a light, and that changes everything. Well, friends, if we're walking in God's light, He is watching over us. He can see us, and He's keeping us safe from temptation and from danger and from struggle and hardship. Doesn't mean we won't face temptation. Doesn't mean we won't suffer from time to time in this life, but think about how much more difficult life would be if we're not in the light and we're always in that darkness. Let's page back into the Old Testament. Let's find Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah doesn't use that wording reference walking in the light, but he does reference walking with God and being under His protection. And that God gives us strength and He gives us that safety that we can find in that light. So Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So God gives us direction in His light. There is safety and security. There is also goodness in His light. Because we're told in Scripture that every good thing, every blessing is from God. And if we walk in that light with Him, we are the recipients of those blessings. Let's turn to James chapter 1 and verse 17, back into the New Testament. James chapter 1 and verse 17. It's interesting, James describes God in a way that's consistent with the theme of our lesson, and he reminds us that God gives us all good things in this life. We're not receiving His blessings if we're in the darkness, if we're outside of His light. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, it's true, we can find some temporary happiness and joy in this life by pursuing the things that people in the world pursue, but true joy, happiness, contentment, peace, and comfort comes from being in that light, because it comes from the hope that God has promised us salvation and that He would deliver on that promise. And remember, we can't find that narrow gate unless we're walking that narrow path with God, and we are in His light. And that's the hope that leads to that comfort and that security and that peace in this lifetime. And it is the only lasting peace that we'll find. Because as James even mentions, God is the one constant thing in our life. His light will never go out. It'll never be extinguished. It's always there. There's nothing that can overcome it. There's nothing that can defeat it. There's no variation, as James says. There's no shadow of turning. It's the one consistent anchor in our lives. If we cling to God and we stay within His light, we're safe. He's given us direction, and we're receiving the blessings that He's willing to give us. Let's think of one other benefit, really a summary of the other three. There is clarity in the light. Brethren, that clarity comes from God's Word. That brings us to Psalm 119 and verse 105. I'm asking you to jump between the Old Testament and the New Testament quite a bit. Your Bibles are going to get a little bit of a workout here this morning. Let's meet at Psalm 119 and verse 105. You know, we considered in our classes just previously regarding 1 Peter and 2 Peter, the fact that God has given us everything we need to understand who He is and to obtain salvation. So He gives us clarity through His Word. And this is how the psalmist puts it in Psalm 119 and verse 105. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it gets right back to that original point. Without His light, how do we know where we're going? Without His light, how do we find that narrow opening into salvation? Because through His Word, He has given us that clarity. He's given us the plan. He's delineated our path, and He gives us light to walk by. So that's the imagery. What it means to walk with God is walking in His light, being the recipient of those benefits, knowing that He's directing us, He's guiding us, He's guarding us and watching over us. He's given us His Word to help us to find that narrow gap, to find our way to salvation. We think about being in the light. We think about that benefit, that as we walk this path towards salvation, that God is illuminating the way. And along that path, as long as we stay in that illuminated circle, He'll deliver us to that narrow opening. He's not going anywhere else but to salvation. So if we walk with Him, if we stay in that light, where will we be on the day of judgment? But entering into salvation. It's as clear as that. Doesn't mean it's easy as that sometimes, but it's clear and we can understand it. And if we stay in that light, we're right there with Him and He's going to deliver us right where we want to be. Let's think of the other alternative. To better appreciate what it means to be in the light, let's think about what it's like to be out in the darkness. Because if we're in the darkness, there's three different places we could be relative to God's light. We can try to get out in front of His light. And that may sound like it's illogical, and on the surface it is, but allow me to explain here in just a couple of minutes. Trying to get ahead of God. What about the opposite extreme? Falling behind. Fading back from the light. And what about all that temptation that happens in darkness out beside us? You know, the light is God's realm. The realm of the devil is the darkness all around that light. And he lurks beside that path trying to tempt us to step out of the light. So let's think about those three potential locations, trying to get out in front of God, falling behind Him, or straying to the left or to the right off of the trail, giving in to temptation, getting further and further away from the path. First things let's consider is trying to get out ahead of God. Again, it sounds illogical. It almost sounds nonsensical, and it's actually supposed to. Because if you thought to yourself when you heard that, there's no way that's possible, I would 100% agree with you. God is all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's all-powerful. We can never get out ahead of God. We can never be in front of Him. But so many people try, don't they? Because when people aren't walking in the light, yet they believe in God and they crave and they want that salvation, but they strike out on their own trying to find their own path, isn't it as if they think they're getting out ahead of God? There's somehow a better path that's easier or more desirable, more convenient, makes more sense to them. They don't understand that they're not on the path and they're not walking in the light. They may think they're out ahead of God, heading to that narrow gate. Unfortunately, brethren, they're never going to get there. And Scripture tells that. Jesus Himself, who died on the cross to save us from our sins, who will be standing at that narrow gate judging us on the day of judgment, tells us we can't get there if we leave the path, if we're not in God's light. So we think about people that try to range forward of God, coming up with a better idea. We've thought about the fact before, we can't outthink God. There is no better plan. There's no better way. Because the Father of lights has blessed us with His plan What else can we do other than adhere to it? Cling to God, walk in the light, knowing where He's going to deliver us. Let's turn once again back into the Old Testament. I'd ask you to join me at Leviticus chapter 18, verses 3 through 5. Leviticus 18, 3 through 5, because there's a warning for us here. And it's easy to point fingers and say they and them. Think about all the people that are trying to walk in front of God, that have their own perception or their own plan of salvation that's not according to God's word. We could fall victim to that as well. Because at times we're susceptible to giving in to what people in this world around us think, their opinions, their plans, and their desires. And God has always warned His people against that. Clear back to this reference from Leviticus chapter 18, verses 3 through 5, where God tells His people, don't pay attention to the Egyptians who you just left, and don't pay attention to the Canaanites who will surround you in the land that I've promised you, but cling to Me. Obey My commandments, because I'll never forsake you. I'll never let you down. I'll always deliver you exactly where you want to be. With that in mind, read with me Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5. You shall not do as they did in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow My rules and keep My statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep My statutes and My rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Friends, if we just adhere to God's word, cling to Him and stay in the light, He'll deliver us exactly where we want to be. Don't give in to the thoughts and attitudes, opinions and plans of other people. Stay on the path, because they're no smarter than God and they can't outthink God, and neither can we. Well, now that we've thought about trying to get out ahead of God and get forward of Him, let's think of the reverse. And we may be able to relate to this a little bit more. Let's think of falling behind. Let's think of failing to keep pace with God and His light. And sometimes, you know, in life, we have that sense of spiritual fatigue. And sometimes we get overcome with the cares and the thoughts and the concerns of this world or our other pursuits. And we still believe, we're still on the path, we're just not keeping up. We're just not making progress. God hasn't sped up on that path, it's that we've slowed down. Before we know it, we look and we're at the back edge of that light. And if we drift any further back, we'll find ourselves out in the darkness somewhere behind God, because we're just not growing and developing and maturing in our faith and our relationship with God. Let's think about some symptoms of that, just as a sampling of many different symptoms or pieces of evidence that that may be happening. For instance, maybe we're not studying God's Word as we should. Maybe we're not in the Word and dedicating that time and that effort. Because remember, our objective, like Enoch, like Noah, and like Levi, is to walk with God, to be in His light. And His Word is that guide that leads us to that light. How can we know God if we don't learn His Word? If we're not dedicating time and effort to doing that, it's as if we're just drifting back. We're not refining and developing that close relationship that would be indicated by us walking in the light, but we're drifting and we're falling back. We're failing to keep His pace. Let's think about prayer. You know, the way to form a relationship with somebody certainly is through communication. If you're walking with somebody that you want to get close to, that you want to get to know better, you're probably talking to them, getting to know them, sharing your feelings with one another and your thoughts. Well, God has blessed us with the opportunity to do that with Him through this avenue of prayer. That's how we develop and refine that relationship. We talk to our Father as we walk with Him. If we're not talking to Him, how do we get to know Him? If we're not talking to Him, how do we cultivate that relationship? Before we know it, we've just placed some distance between us and our Heavenly Father as we see that light getting a little dimmer out ahead of us. Maybe we're not engaged with our congregation. Maybe we're not gathering together. Maybe we're not assembling. Maybe we're not coming to study God's Word because we help one another to stay in the light when we do those things. But if we've become disengaged from our congregation, maybe we're starting to fall back and we're just not keeping up. And the list of examples goes on and on and on, but the point is, we can fix that. That's within our power. We can pick up our pace and get back into the light and catch up with God. That's within our control. If we're not studying enough, as obvious as it sounds, get in the book. Study God's Word. Study with someone else. Carve out time to pray. Not turning prayer into a routine chore, but understanding how important it is and make time to do it. Get involved with the congregation. Get involved with your brethren. Use the skills and abilities that God has blessed you with to the benefit of the congregation to be engaged as we help one another stay in the light. We have the power to catch up if we're falling back. And this really then is a lesson about endurance, especially toward this topic, that spiritual endurance, that as we become distracted, if we feel overwhelmed or overcome, to understand that we can close that gap. And that brings us back into the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. As you turn there, realize that the context for this particular passage is actually the previous chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, most of us are familiar with this list of men and women that we read about from the Old Testament who are given to us as examples of faith, as those who endured. So with that in mind and thinking about that tendency to fall back in our faith, let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Because the writer is reminding us that God understands it can be difficult at times, but he gives us help. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Do you notice that the Hebrew writer used a word that is consistent with the theme of the lesson today, that we are surrounded by what he refers to as a cloud of witnesses? Remember, he's referring back to the list of men and women from Hebrews chapter 11. So if we're surrounded by God's light, we're surrounded by all these examples that we can rely on in Scripture of men and women who did have struggles and did have hardships, but they endured. Because God understands we need those examples. So as he surrounds us with his light and his word, we're surrounded by all those men and women who've gone before us that we can learn from, and we can put those lessons into practice to close the gap between us and the Lord. And of course, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us of the best example we have of all, and that is Christ himself. Let's think about everything he endured, but he stayed true to God's word. He was a living example of how to abide by God's word and stay in the light. That's an example we can strive to follow as well. Well, friends, we thought about getting out ahead of God, or at least trying to. We thought about falling behind. What's happening out to the sides of that path? Again, the realm of God is within that light. He is that light. But the darkness that surrounds that light is where the devil dwells. And he's right beside the path as we walk this journey. And I know we've thought about this before. We'll spend a little bit less time on this particular point as I reiterate some prior lessons. But just think about what's happening out there beside us. The devil is just walking parallel to that trail. And he's just waiting to offer us that temptation, hoping we'll do what? Just step out of the light. Just step off the path. Step out into that dark unknown so he can keep tempting us to get further and further away from that light. You realize that's his objective, right? It's the only way he can do any damage to God is by luring us away from that path of salvation, luring us out of the light. And as we're tempted, the best opportunity we have to fight against that is to simply stop. I think I've said this before. If you've ever been lost at night in the woods, and take this from a guy who's been lost in the woods at night more than I'd like to admit, best thing you can do is just stop. Turn around and figure out where you want to get back to. And if we find ourselves giving in to temptation and straying out of the light, we don't have to keep walking. We can stop. We can turn around, and you know what we'll see? We'll see that light, because it never goes out, because God is standing on the path, and he's just waiting for us to come back. And if we do, he'll welcome us, because he allows us to confess, to own up to the bad decision. Because if we step out of the light, friends, that's a decision we've made. And if we've given in and stepped out of the light, no matter how far away we've stepped, he's right there with it, waiting on the path to pick up that journey again. We can repent. We can make that U-turn and come right back to him. And he's standing right there on the trail. And he'll welcome us back in, and we'll get busy walking. And we'll walk with God, and we'll continue that journey towards salvation. Let's think of the fact that when we are in his light, we are totally surrounded by his goodness, by the blessings that he offers, by his power and his glory and his mercy and his love. We can't get ahead of God, but he can be ahead of us. We sometimes fall behind God, but sometimes purposely God is behind us. And if all that temptation is creeping in from the sides, you can bet that God is to our sides as well, protecting us. Because God is everywhere, and He is everywhere relative to us. We're walking beside Him, but He's in front of us, He's behind us, and He's beside us. And let's think of some of the benefits of that as we come toward the conclusion of the lesson. You know, God is in front of us for some very specific reasons, and we should be glad that He is. Let's go to the most familiar psalm. Most of you could quote it from memory, Psalm 23. We'll read verses 1 through 3 here in just a minute. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, where David is writing of God as our shepherd, and He is leading the flock. And that shepherd is leading from the front. And why is that? Because the sheep can see the shepherd, and they trust Him, and they know He's bringing him to those safe places. Well, think about how God leads us from the front at times as we read Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." You know, those sheep want to get to the green pastures, and they want to get to the still waters because that's where they can eat and drink and be safe and be at peace. It's just a dangerous path sometimes with predators. And it's just that the sheep don't necessarily know where all those places are. But the shepherd will protect them, and He'll guide them right where they need to be. So they follow Him. They trust Him, they know Him, and they follow where He leads. Well, that's how God leads us sometimes, is He's out in front of us with that light, especially when we're in those dark times and in those challenging periods, because we need to see God. We need to know His presence. He's right there in front of us, leading us. That's why Jesus came here. Yes, He came here to die on the cross as that perfect sacrifice for our sins, but He also came here to share God's word and be a living example, as the writer to the letter of the letter to the Hebrews mentions, that we can follow in His footsteps. So sometimes God is out in front of us, paving the way so that we can see Him and we can follow. You know, sometimes God similarly is behind us. And I'd ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. You know, think about the fact that there are times in our lives, admittedly, where we all need, let's say, that gentle nudge, that push in the right direction. Sometimes when we're struggling or we're just not paying attention. And sometimes that means God's behind us, giving us that gentle nudge when we really need it. And if God's behind it, relating to here to Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, that means He has a unique vantage point because He can see us on that path. And He can see if we're starting to look to the left and to the right, if we're starting to stray off that path. And He can give us that guidance and steer us back onto that trail. With that in mind, let's read Isaiah 30 and verse 21. The prophet says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." Think about a parent teaching a small child how to walk. The child would cling to the leg of their parent until they get their balance and then they get their confidence. But at some point, the parent's going to stop, give the child just a little bit of a nudge. They break free of that grip, and they take a few steps. And what's that parent doing? Almost hovering over their child to make sure that they don't fall over and to prop them up if they do. Think about God doing that with us, walking behind us, watching that we don't stray to the left and to the right, but giving us that support and giving us that help, oftentimes when we need it the most. And let's think about God to our sides. Let's think about the devil out there in the darkness, introducing all that temptation to us. You know, in the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, Jesus is teaching us to pray. And in that model prayer, that example, He tells us to ask God to help us defend against the devil. Familiar words from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." What do we think God is doing when we ask Him to help us fight that battle against temptation? I think He's out there beside us. And I think sometimes He is pushing back all that temptation to allow us to stay focused on our journey so we stay within the light. And friends, that doesn't mean that at times we won't encounter that temptation. He doesn't shield us from all of it. But if Jesus tells us to ask for help and God is faithful to help us, what else would He be doing? I am convinced there are times in our lives when we ask God to help us against temptation that we're walking on that path and there is some significant temptation swirling around us, but God's out there on our flank, beside us, fighting against it, pushing it back, so that we can stay focused and we can stay on that trail and stay in the light. And yes, every once in a while we look to the left and the right. No matter what God's doing, we're going to see it and we're going to be enticed. But remember, He always welcomes us back. So when we walk in the light, He is everywhere. He is all around us. We benefit from being in the light. If we walk with Him, we can't go wrong. Yes, we'll stray from time to time. Maybe we think we can get out in front of Him sometimes because we start to give in to the opinions and the beliefs of people around us. Maybe sometimes we fall back because we're getting distracted and we're getting overwhelmed in this life. Sometimes we step off that trail to the left and to the right and give in to temptation. God is there to welcome us back. He helps us to stay in the light, and He'll always help us to return. Because what God wants for us is what we want from Him. God wants to give us salvation. He wants to get us to that narrow gate. That's why He created us, to be with Him in heaven for an eternity. And that's where He leads us if we would just stay in His light. Trust His word, trust His plan, obediently follow, knowing that He'll deliver on that promise. In conclusion, let's go back to our thoughts about Enoch. What did it mean that Enoch walked with God and that then God took him up and he didn't experience a physical death? You know, as adults, sometimes when we're trying to understand Scripture, we can tend to overthink things and overcomplicate it. Let's do what Scripture sometimes tells us and let's just think of it from the perspective of a child. Because children have a way of just boiling things down and getting to the basics. It reminds me of a story of a little girl that was in Bible class one Sunday morning. And the topic of their discussion was Enoch. And so on the way home from service that morning, mom turns around from the front seat and asks her daughter, "What did you learn in Bible class today?" And she said, "Well, we learned about a man named Enoch." So of course the mother said, "Well, what is it that you learned about Enoch? Tell me what you talked about." And this is what her daughter said. "Enoch used to take long walks with God. And one day he walked so far that God said, 'It's too far for you to go back. Just come on home with me.'" That's what happened to Enoch. You know, friends, if we stay with God, it's that simple. Not that it's that easy all the time, but if we walk in His light, He's going to deliver us right to that narrow gate. We're going to meet our Savior who's standing there to judge us. We can hear those words that we long to hear. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, enter into the joy of the Lord forever." That's the benefit of staying in the light. That's what it means to walk with God. We should cherish that opportunity to know God, develop that relationship, stay by His side, stay within the light, confident that He'll deliver us right where we want to be on the day of judgment. You know, as an invitation, if you're not a Christian, I'd ask you to understand one important fact related to the lesson this morning, that you are not standing in the light. If you're not a faithful Christian, if you haven't been baptized and had your sins washed away, become a member of His church, you are in the darkness. And Scripture tells us that you won't find that gate. You can change that. Become a Christian. Confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have your sins washed away in baptism. Begin your journey of faith. Take that important step into the light, knowing that God will guide you to that narrow gate on the day of judgment. And brethren, if you are a Christian and you're struggling to stay in the light or you're straying outside of it, we've all been there from time to time. Remember, we help one another to stay in the light. So if there's anything we can do to help you on that journey, to welcome you back to the path, we can extend our arm, grab you by the hand, and pull you back in. Whatever it might take, let us know what we can do. You have to make the decision, but we can certainly help you find your way back to the light. So if that invitation applies to anyone in any way, you're encouraged and invited to come forward as our brother James leads us in the invitation song as we stand.